Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
Right now, I'm thinking of the late Queen Elizabeth II of England. One thing I remember and admire about her is how she always carried herself. Without doubt, she portrayed quality character even in difficulties. Matter of fact, as I followed her life and conduct, I witnessed how she portrayed her position of privilege. How does a discussion about privilege apply to you? Let's explore together. All right, let's go back and talk about Queen Elizabeth just a little bit more. She was a striking person of power, grace, and humility. Often, however, her privilege was disguised as obligation. Essentially, she believed her life of privilege was actually an obligation to the crown. Remarkably, this monarch left an amazing legacy. Oddly, for her, life as a royal was more accurately the abdication to Elizabeth's private life. She did not want to be queen. Yet upon realizing this had become her destiny, she prioritized her obligations to her country over her own preferences. Okay, it's time for some definitions. First of all, privilege. So here's a definition of privilege for today's content. A right attached specifically to a position or an office. Also, a special opportunity to do something. All right, we're going to also explore a definition of obligation. And this definition ranges from the following things: a formal contract, a promise, demands of conscience that obligate a person to act, a commitment, a debt of gratitude, duty or responsibility, commitment to a course of action. Subsequently, privilege always comes with obligation. We're going to talk about privilege as a call to action. The idea of privilege describes your relationship with Jesus. Some people wrongly think indebtedness to God is a favor they may or may not reciprocate. Actually, it's an obligation to do certain things each day. Literally, this affects how you live your life. Simultaneously, privilege is a pleasant responsibility, perhaps not always what you had in mind, yet a trust given to you. Plus, it's a response of gratitude and love to Jesus Christ, because He first loved you, 1 John 4:19. Further, forgiveness and eternal life are not Christmas presents you receive, then later decide whether you keep them or pass on to someone else. Rather, these gifts are a call to action. Privilege is a special call to action. Okay, time to explore privilege and how it brings obligation. With a true understanding of what Jesus has done for you, there's deep realization of voluntary obligation. Frankly, a debt of position you can never repay. Invariably, your new position of royalty in Christ automatically calls for gratitude. Indeed, the privilege of a deep, undeserved friendship with a loving friend, capital F, has certain obligation. Jesus graciously paid all penalties against people. So, if you accept His gifts, forgiveness, eternal life, and friendship, it's an obligation you're eager to live under. Interestingly, this obligation also gives freedom from sin's power. So, privilege does bring obligation. Let's also explore how privilege means responsibility, and we've kind of talked about this a bit already. Privilege does mean responsibility. It's a kind of binding yourself to what is right and appropriate. Plus, it's binding yourself to a life of gratitude. Essentially, a grateful heart represents someone who values excellent character. Subsequently, that person also understands privilege simply means responsibility. Incidentally, responsibility is so practical, so everyday. Indeed, your life is filled with these kinds of commitments, namely to your family, friends, job, community, and so forth. Essentially, responsibility is part of your privilege. Notably, the rewards of faithfully fulfilling responsibilities brings both satisfaction and credibility. Interestingly, a relationship with Jesus automatically carries responsibilities. He fulfilled and continues to fulfill his responsibilities to his followers. Equally, fulfilling your responsibilities to him each day shows your faithful love for him. Love between you and Jesus always brings blessings. Remarkably, gaining Christ as your dearest companion yields eternal pleasures and joys. And these responsibilities of those blessings start in this life before heaven. You can never lose when you bind yourself to responsibilities of privilege. I think it's time to talk about being debtors and servants. Consider with me, we are debtors and servants of God, yet we are his children and his heirs. Further, he calls us his friends, John 15:15. That's utterly amazing. Unthinkably, we have a dear father who Jesus calls Abba. Nevertheless, this privilege is a call to action and brings obligation and responsibility to God, his kingdom, his estate, and his will. Every thought, word, attitude, and deed represents God or not. Thereby, you carry out those three things: a call to action, obligation, and responsibility. Incredibly, you can have intimate relationship with God. It's nothing short of a miracle. Quite frankly, you are a debtor and a servant. Simultaneously, and by grace, you are also very dear to God. Okay, we should actually speak about privilege as benefactor. There's another facet to privilege. We've already hinted at it when we mentioned God, his kingdom, his estate, and his will. Remarkably, you are a benefactor to everything that is God's. Further, you are included in his incredible, lucrative, eternal will. Scripture says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him." 1 Corinthians 2:9. Remember, you are a royal when it comes to being a Jesus follower. Much like Queen Elizabeth preferred to live a quiet personal life, with privilege she gained respect globally. I'm convinced history will be exceedingly kind to her because she modeled how to truly be a quality royal. Subsequently, she commanded power and respect. Plus, she was privileged to influence the world. So, what privileged position has God put in front of you as a benefactor? There are opportunities of service brilliantly disguised as obligation. So now we should talk about service and opportunity. Here are a couple of points that I think are important. Through sincere service from the heart, a strong believer can become seasoned through difficult experiences and various sufferings. Another point, a Jesus follower can learn to navigate hardships that can't be sidestepped and do it with the gracious character of Jesus. And then another point, new believers are just starting to learn the ropes. So give them opportunities to grow and become strong in their service to Jesus. Many obligations are really opportunities of service, brilliantly disguised. You know, we need to talk about good questions. We've often said good questions help. Basically, they help determine your process. Plus, they provide insights and energy to move forward. Further, good questions help you assess what your life strategy is and how it's working. And finally, they measure your character. Interestingly, if you never ask yourself good questions, you only have partial information needed to live an alive and active life. Plus, you live rather in the dark. That means you can't and won't move forward into growth and development. Well, let's talk about what good questions do. Some people don't ask good questions because they are afraid of the answers and the responsibilities. So choose good questions for the following purposes. First of all, to enrich, challenge, and enable you to live better. And this takes courage. Another thing, and interestingly, good questions also carry an obligation to follow up responses. And this means you're going to be present in the moment. Another point, essentially, good questions show value in reasonable, measurable goals. So, thoughtfully set your goals. Good questions also help you invest energy into addressing problems in your life, in your community, and in your country. Well, this means being proactive and involved. And then finally, good questions nurture your relationship with others, basically catering your focus to their needs to build them up in Christ. Check out Ephesians 4:29. This means being selfless. To accomplish God's purposes means being willing to do some things you would not otherwise do. Being willing is the key in scenarios like these. Choose courage. To faithfully live close to Jesus in daily details of your life, you need courage. Also, to trust God when you are misunderstood, misrepresented, or insulted. Another way is, in every life scenario, commit to be a humble learner. A wholehearted response means be present in the moment. Being willing also means to be open and eager to learn. This not only benefits you, it benefits those around you. Interestingly, learning requires thoughtfully setting goals. Being willing also means to be faithful in endurance and steadfastness, and rejoicing in sufferings. These qualities, practiced in hardships, makes you proficient in them. Further, these character qualities require being proactive and involved. And then, willingness also means to spend time reading, studying, meditating, and memorizing God's Word so you can receive power, wisdom, and hope. Essentially, pour your time and energy into living in God's character. And of course, this means being selfless. Did you notice the privilege of serving God produces the same kinds of responses as answering good questions we just went through? And in both of those sections, we found the following things are required to serve God and to answer good questions. Courage, be present in the moment, thoughtfully setting goals, being proactive and involved, and being selfless. Subsequently, living in privilege gives you the chance to be who God designed, a person of royalty. Here are application thoughts and questions over this content. 1. Who comes to your mind when you think about privilege and royalty? 2. How can you implement privilege as a call to action in your community? 3. Have you accepted that privilege as God's child requires a response of obligation? 4. How are you carrying out the responsibilities of privilege in your home, community, and world? 5. Are you being a servant, the benefactor, as God's heir? And what does that look like? 6. Are you investing energy into asking good questions? And then 7, it's a review of those 5 points that we just got through making. Do you live in courage? Do you live present in the moment? Do you live thoughtfully setting goals? Are you being proactive and involved? And are you being selfless? Portions of this content come from my book, It's Your Move. It's a devotional book that powerfully challenges you to live with perspective and purpose. You can find this book in our bookstore, www.aliveandactivelife.org/store. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.